This is Audible.
Sweet Seduction by Maya Banks. Narrated by Caroline Wintour. Copyright 2009 by Maya Banks. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with MB Books, LLC, care of Trident Media Group, and was produced in the year 2012 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Chapter 1. Julie Stanford took a deep breath before shoving aside the curtain to walk into the massage room where Nathan was laid out in all his glorious naked splendor. Of course he would be on his belly, with a towel draped across his ass. His very tight, gorgeous ass. He stiffened slightly as she moved closer, the roll of muscles across his back betraying him. Despite what he might try to portray, he wasn't immune to her. Not by a long shot. Oh, well, it didn't matter. After today, she was so moving on from her fixation with Nathan Tucker. She had fantasies to live, great sex to have, and, okay, she'd settle for great sex. No need to get carried away. Humming to herself, she readied her supplies and then turned to the feast of male flesh before her. Before, she'd always worked with his displays of modesty and left the towel over him. She'd never pressed him to turn over so she could do his front, even though she knew damn well the only reason he refused was because he didn't want to get caught with an erection. But today, she wasn't in an accommodating mood. Nope. This was her last chance to savor him, and she was going to enjoy every minute of it. First thing she did was whip off the towel and toss it across the room. He jerked and reached blindly back with his hand. "What the hell?" he muttered as he twisted and maneuvered, all while trying not to turn over. She grinned and placed her hands over his shoulders to shove him back down to the table. He quieted immediately at her touch, even though he went so tense that it would take her the better part of an hour to work out the kinks. He wanted her, but for whatever reason, he didn't want to want her, and that irritated her. What was so wrong with her? It wasn't like she was a clinging vine, desperate for love and commitment. The idea that he could be so appalled by his attraction to her stung. Trying to tamp down her flashing aggravation, she concentrated on the smooth muscles of his shoulders as she worked over his tanned skin. Soon, calm invaded her as she lost herself in the intense pleasure of touching him. She took her time, determined to make it last. After today, she was resigning as his massage chick, and she was off to greener pastures, thanks to Damon Roche. Okay, so she hadn't exactly talked to him yet. She wanted to give him and Serena time to sort out their differences before she hit him up. But he was a nice guy, and she was convinced he'd help her. Faith had been equally sure. A dreamy smile curved her lips upward as she imagined the possibility of Damon arranging her sexual fantasy at the house. When Nathan made a sound, she frowned and looked downward. She'd worked her way to his ass, and as soon as she began kneading his tight buns, he let out what could only be described as a strangled protest. She wanted to laugh, and had to swallow hard to prevent it. She needed to snap out of her daydreams and get her head back in the now. Hell, Nathan Tucker was here, naked, under her fingertips, and she was fantasizing about getting it on with two other guys. Her fingers trailed over the hard globes of his ass before she cupped and rolled the supple flesh under her palms. He made a desperate little sound that had her stifling the laughter again, yet he made no effort to stop her. There was a light smattering of hair at the small of his back that trailed down the cleft, and she followed it with one fingertip. He sucked in a breath and went completely still as she teased the region between his cheeks. Then, as if she'd never dared to push the boundaries of the massage, she traveled to his thick legs, caressing and molding the bulging muscles of his thighs. Man, she loved touching him. It was addictive. He was supposed to be gaining the larger enjoyment from the massage, but she wasn't sure that was the case, because she was in heaven. When she got to his feet, she spent several minutes massaging the arch and instep before finally traveling back up his body. Her mouth watered as she imagined following her hand with her tongue. But no, not yet. She wouldn't show her hand before it was time, even if she did have the strongest urge to lean down and bite him right on the ass. His head was to the side, his cheek resting on the pillow she'd provided. His eyes were closed, but there were lines of strain gathered at his temple. She reached down to smooth them away. Her hand slid across the smooth skin of his bald head, then to the base of his skull. According to Faith Malone, Nathan had always worn his hair longer and shaggy, until the day he'd lost a bet with Micah Hudson and was forced to shave it all off. Faith had convinced him he looked hot with a shaved head and goatee, and told him all he lacked was an earring to complete the look. She'd brought him to Julie's to pierce his ear, and so began Julie's obsession with Nathan Tucker. And today it would end. Impatient and ready to end the build-up, she pulled her hands away from his skin and stepped back. Predictably, he shifted and raised the upper portion of his body as he looked frantically for the robe he'd discarded earlier. "Turn over," she directed calmly. His gaze met hers, and she shivered at the intensity in his green eyes.
"No," he said. "Now where the hell is my robe? A towel? Anything?"
She wouldn't laugh. No, she wouldn't. "Turn over, Nathan." There was steel in her voice, and he looked surprised by it.
"What the hell?"
"Afraid I'll see your heart on?" she asked in an innocent voice. "Really, Nathan, I didn't peg you for a coward. It's not like an erection is uncommon in my male customers. Now turn over so I can finish the massage." She didn't add that it would be his last. His eyes narrowed, and as if answering the challenge, he turned sharply, rolling his naked body until he was flat on his back. Her breath left her in one gigantic whoosh. Holy hell in a bucket, but Hardon didn't do justice to the magnificent erection jutting from his groin. Her gaze was absolutely fixed on his cock. She wanted to wrap both hands around it and stroke, touch, caress, and then she wanted to taste. God, she wanted to taste. She did crude measurements in her head, because damn, he was stacked. Long and thick. She'd had good, but she'd never had this nice. Would be a damn shame if he didn't know what to do with it. Not that it mattered to her, because the time for that was over.
"If you're through staring," he grated out.
There was a hint of embarrassment in his voice, and she grinned before allowing her gaze to drift upward until it connected with his. "Very nice," she murmured. "One has to wonder why you took such pains to hide it from me." He muttered several curses under his breath.
"Can we just finish this?"
"Oh, yes," she purred as she moved closer to him again. "I'm going to finish, all right." He looked at her cautiously, nervousness in his eyes. Smart man. She climbed onto the table and straddled his thighs just below that nice, straining erection. It was going to kill her to take this nice and slow, but she was determined to have him begging before it was over.
"What the hell are you doing, Julie?"
Her palms met his abdomen and glided upward over his chest as she leaned over him. She stared down at him unflinchingly. "You have two choices. You can shut up and not say a damn word until I'm done, or I can gag you. In either case, I'm going to have my way." He cocked one eyebrow as he stared up at her.
"Bossy damn woman today. What's got into you?"
"Well, certainly not you," she grumbled. He started to say something else, but she put her hand over his mouth. "Not a word, Nathan," she said lightly. He glared at her but didn't say anything else. She pulled her hand away, very conscious of his cock digging into her belly. She wanted to strip off every piece of her clothing, scanty as it was. But then, this wasn't about her. Then she caught him staring below her chin, and she looked down, following his line of vision. He was focused on her breasts, the very nice tatas that she'd plumped and stuffed into the too small bra, the tatas that were about to pop out of the thin halter top she was wearing. Unabashed by his interest, it wasn't like she hadn't tried for months to get him to look at her, she leaned forward a bit more so he got a really good look. "I'm pretty sure what I'm about to do violates the code of ethics of my profession," she said huskily. "But you know what? It'll be worth it." His body tightened underneath her. A quiver worked through his thighs and over his taut belly. She shifted back, sliding her hands over his too perfect chest, down the thin line of hair leading to his navel. No longer able to hold back, she bent her head and swirled her tongue around the shallow indentation.
"Shit!" he hissed.
She smiled as she pulled away. Her hands closed around his cock as she scooted down to her knees to give herself better access. Hot steel. He was hard as a rock and pulsing in her hand. With both hands wrapped around his dick, she still had 2 inches above her grip. Man, oh man, she wanted him inside her, filling her. He was made for a woman's pleasure. He sucked in his breath when she lowered her head. Her tongue shot out and traced a delicate line around the head. Then she sucked him hard inside her mouth, taking him whole and deep. His back came off the table like a shot, spasms ricocheting through his body. But he kept silent, according to Julie's dictate. He tasted wholly male, or like she imagined someone as big and rugged as he would taste. Strong. He was equal parts satiny, as her tongue glided over the smoothness of his shaft, and rough, as she encountered the pulsing veins and wrinkled flesh of his foreskin. The crown of his dick was tight, silky at the top, puckered around the flared edge. She lapped hungrily at it in anticipation of his release. Not that she planned to let that happen for a while yet. She paused and pulled her head away, keeping her fingers curled around the base. She glanced up to see him staring down at her, his eyes glittering with lust. Yeah, well, she wasn't going to get any grand ideas that he wanted her. Wrap your lips around a man's cock and shove breasts at him, and he wouldn't give a shit about who you were or worry about deeper attraction. She winced. Gee, try not to take that personally. Determined not to look back at him, she lowered her eyes and set about driving him crazy. Deep, sucking, swallowing as she guided him deeper still. His fists were curled into tight balls at his sides as he strained upward to thrust into her mouth. And then she stopped. She released him slowly, letting her lips glide sensuously over his cock on its way out. He arched helplessly toward her, but she raised her head out of his reach. "God damn, Julie, what do you want?" he asked desperately. She loosened her hold on his dick and rocked back until her bottom rested on his knees. She stared levelly at him. "I want you to beg." He glared at her. "I don't beg, ever." She smiled, accepting his challenge. "We'll see about that, Tucker." She leaned down again, pulling his cock up so that the underside was accessible. With a long swipe, she licked from the base to the head and then rolled her mouth over the crown. She sucked him deep, taking all of him. Her nose met the short, crisp hairs of his groin, and still she held him deep, swallowing. His groan split the air. He was close, really close, but she was determined not to make it easy. What was the point in giving the man the best head of his life if she was going to cut it short? She wanted him to remember, to lay awake at night, his skin alive with want. She wanted him to want her, to realize what he'd never have again. If that made her vindictive, oh well. He cursed when she pulled him close to his orgasm and then stopped, allowing him to slide away from sweet release. When he calmed beneath her, she began again, coaxing and unrelenting. The third time he trembled beneath her, ready to explode in her mouth, she pulled away again. "Julie, please! God, just finish it! I'm begging!" With a wicked smile, she descended, taking him hard. His hips arched convulsively, his ass bumping against the table as she fucked him with her mouth. "Oh, God!" he breathed. "Shit! Julie, I'm going to come!" Her grip tightened around him and she worked her hand up and down in unison with her mouth. His hips shot upward in one continuous bow. His cry rippled over her ears just as his cum shot into her mouth, hot and silky. She took it all, sucking and swallowing as he shook beneath her. His hips fell as he slammed back onto the table, and she followed him down, her mouth never leaving his cock. His hand tangled in her hair, the first time he actually touched her. His fingers glanced off her scalp as he almost tenderly stroked through her hair. She closed her eyes, enjoying the moment, the pleasure of his touch. Then, slowly, she pulled away, refusing to meet his eyes. This wasn't the time to get caught up in the ooey-gooey aftermath when half of what was said was bullshit and the other half was the result of the brain still not functioning after a mind-blowing orgasm. She slid off the table and straightened her clothes. Across the room, his robe and the towel she tossed away lay carelessly strewn. She hurried for both and turned and tossed them in Nathan's direction. "That was on the house," she said, proud of the steadiness of her voice. "I won't, however, be available for future appointments. You'll have to find another massage service." She caught only a brief glimpse of the shocked expression on his face before she turned and walked out of the massage room. Chapter 2 Nathan roared up into the parking lot of Malone & Son Security and cut the engine. With an irritated yank of his keys, he got out and slammed his door. He strode to the door, glowering the entire way. "That damn Hellcat Julie! After giving him an orgasm that rivaled Mount Vesuvius,
she'd had the nerve to blow him off. What the fuck kind of point was she trying to prove? If she wanted his attention, she'd certainly gotten it in a big way. After weeks and weeks of endless sexual frustration, his prayers had been answered. Julie's mouth around his cock, her hands on his body, a vixen bent on seduction. Yeah, well, then she turned into a friggin' iceberg. Not only had she fired his ass. Could a customer be fired? But he'd neither seen hide nor hair of her in a week. A week! When before he couldn't damn well turn around without her being there. Now she'd disappeared off the face of the earth. He'd gone into her salon, determined that she and nobody else was going to give him a massage. Only this time he was going to have her down on the table under his mouth and hands. Imagine his surprise when a woman he'd never seen before introduced herself as Julie's new massage therapist. Oh, hell no. He turned around and walked out, ready to strangle Julie, right after he fucked her brains out. He swung open the door to Malone and Son's security and stalked in, making a beeline for Faith's office. He almost ran into Micah Hudson in the hallway. Micah started to say something but took one look at Nathan's face and held his hands up. Micah backed away, an amused grin on his face.
I'll catch you later, dude, after you've worked the knot out of your panties.
Fuck you, Nathan muttered as he shoved past him. Faith looked up as Nathan walked into her office, her eyebrows going up. Usually he was a lot more even-tempered, especially with Faith. He loved the girl to death, but today his patience was hanging by a thread. He put his hands down on Faith's desk and leaned over to stare her in the eye.
Where is she?
Faith blinked.
Excuse me?
Julie, he growled. Where the hell is she hiding?
A burst of amusement flared in Faith's eyes, which only served to piss Nathan off more.
I swear to you, Faith, if you don't tell me where she is, I'm going to strangle that pretty neck of yours.
If he thought that threat was going to get him anywhere, he was sadly mistaken. Faith laughed in his face.
She finally get to you, Nathan?
He closed his eyes and was tempted to beat his head on the desk. God save him from impossible women. When he reopened his eyes, he found Faith staring at him, a glint of steel in her expression.
Come on, Faith, he wheedled. You're supposed to be my friend.
What you are is a dumbass.
His mouth fell open. What the hell happened to sweet, generous Faith who made them all coffee and mothered them incessantly? She stood and placed her own hands on the desk and leaned forward, her lips twisted in a snarl.
You ignore her for weeks, act like she doesn't even exist, and then when you decide to take notice, you're pissed because she's not running when you snap your fingers?
Not that I don't love watching you get your ass kicked by a girl, but Pop wants you on the phone,
Micah called from the door. Amusement was heavy in his voice.
Get out, he and Faith said at the same time.
Micah threw up his hands.
Okay, okay. Just don't call me to clean up the mess later.
He backed out of the office at high speed. Nathan turned back to Faith.
What do you mean I've ignored her for weeks? Do you know how impossible it is to ignore that woman? I'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to notice.
It was Faith's turn for her mouth to gape open. Then, to his utter shock, she reached across and smacked him upside the head. He yanked back, staring at her in shock.
What the hell was that for?
Dumbass! Complete and utter moron! If all men were as stupid as you, the world would have a population crisis!
You can quit with the insults any time.
Don't stop now, it's just getting interesting, Connor Malone said from the door.
Out!
Faith screeched at her brother. Nathan didn't say anything, but he pinned Connor with a glare. Connor's shoulders shook with laughter, but he turned and sauntered back out.
Office is a damn revolving door today, Nathan muttered.
It's a revolving door every day, Faith said pointedly. You just never get the hint. Just like you're too thick to figure out that you could have had Julie at any time. You've lost your chance, and moreover, you don't deserve her.
Heat simmered in Nathan's veins.
Lost my chance, my ass.
Just because women had to be so fucking complicated didn't mean that he was the dumbass for not figuring out the mystic woman's code for, I want you. There wasn't a man in the world who knew how the fuck women thought, and if he said he did, he was a goddamn liar.
So, you're on her side, Nathan huffed.
She rolled her eyes.
Men are such babies.
Would you quit with the name-calling? Jesus, Faith, what's crawled up your ass?
Why are you here, Nathan?
She asked impatiently. He gaped at her. His blood pressure was going through the roof. He'd be lucky if he didn't stroke out in her office. He reached for his hair, but then remembered he didn't have any.
Why the hell do you think I'm here?
He roared. She looked unfazed by the fact he was losing his mind.
I'm here because that hellcat seduced me and then ran the fuck away. She's avoiding me. And when I went in for my massage, another fucking woman showed up to give me one. And you think I'm a chicken shit?
No, you're a dumbass, she pointed out in a bored tone. He threw up his hands and slumped down in the chair behind him.
Okay, Faith, I'm a dumbass. Now tell me why I'm such a dumbass, because obviously I'm too much of a dumbass to see.
She sat down in her chair with a smirk. Nice sarcasm, Nathan. And I thought that was Micah's job.
I heard that, Micah called from the hall. Not to mention eavesdropping, Nathan growled. Micah, I'm going to kick your fucking ass if you don't get the hell away from Faith's door.
He got up and stalked over to look down the hall. To his supreme irritation, Micah stood there with Connor and Gray Montgomery, and they all wore shit-eating grins that told him they'd overheard every word of his argument with Faith.
Assholes, Nathan swore, the lot of you.
You raise your voice to Faith again and I'll kick your ass, Gray said mildly.
Oh, like I'd do anything to her, even if I'm tempted to strangle her, Nathan said in irritation. She's being a royal pain in my ass.
I heard that, Faith called.
Nathan threw up his hands. Get lost, okay, guys? If I wanted the greater Houston area to know what I was talking about, I'd take out an ad.
That's not a bad idea, Connor said thoughtfully. We could rent a billboard.
I'm sorry, Julie. I'm a blind, deaf, and dumb moron who doesn't know what to do with his dick, he mimicked.
Nathan sucked in a deep breath, walked back into Faith's office, and slammed the door as hard as he could. You break my door and you're going to fix it, Faith said.
Faith, look at me, Nathan said as he walked back to her desk.
He leaned over until their faces were a few inches apart.
Cut the crap for a minute and help me, okay?
Her expression softened. I can't help you, Nathan. You fucked this up. I'd tell you to fix it, but it's really too late. Julie, she's hard. Girls hold a grudge forever. She's decided to give up on you and move on. Once she's decided on something, getting her to change her mind is like getting a pit bull to give up a prime steak.
So her giving me the best blowjob of my life during a massage was her kissing me goodbye? Nathan asked dryly.
Faith's cheeks turned pink, and he felt bad for speaking so bluntly in front of her.
Sorry, he mumbled.
Faith sighed. I think that was supposed to be showing you what you're missing out on and what you've given up by not noticing her before.
Nathan's eyes narrowed. So you knew what she was going to do?
Faith raised one eyebrow. I knew she was planning something, just not what exactly.
Vengeful heifer, Nathan muttered.
Faith grinned. That she is.
Well, screw that, Nathan said as he shoved away from her desk again. She can't just take those kinds of liberties with my body and walk away.
Faith burst out laughing. She laughed so hard the tears rolled down her cheeks.
You sound like an outraged maiden, she gasped.
He grinned. Who says I'm not? I was innocent before she corrupted me. If she thinks she can use me and then discard me, she's mistaken.
Faith wiped at her tears and laughed harder. Innocent my ass. Oh, dear Lord, I was feeling sorry for you. But now I think my sympathies have shifted to Julie. I'm not entirely sure she realizes what she's gotten herself into.
No, Nathan said silkily. She has no clue what she started. But she will. Very soon.
Chapter 3 Julie hopped out of her sporty two-seater and walked up to Damon Roche's front door. He and Serena were both at home, according to Serena anyway, and supposedly Serena had warmed him up for Julie's request. Of course, Serena might still be mad over Julie and Faith kidnapping her a while back, so Julie couldn't be totally sure that Damon would have a clue why she was here. She knocked on the door and blinked when a large man wearing shades answered. She squinted for a few seconds as she stared at him.
"Dude, you look straight out of the mafia," Julie blurted. "I tried to tell Serena that Damon was probably a drug dealer."
To her surprise, Big Dude broke into a grin.
"You must be Miss Stanford. Miss James is expecting you."
"And not Mr. Roche? Damn Serena."
"Mr. Roche is expecting you as well," he returned smoothly. "They're in the living room."
She followed him inside the gorgeously furnished house. No wonder Serena had agreed to move in. Compared to Serena's tiny apartment, this was a freaking palace. They walked into the living room, where Julie was surprised to see a fire burning in the hearth. Damon sat on the couch and Serena was beside him, her head in his lap as he stroked her hair.
"Miss Stanford is here."
Damon turned, and Serena scrambled up, her long black hair falling over her shoulders in disarray.
"Thank you, Sam," Damon said. "Would you have Carol bring refreshment for our guest? Julie, would you care for some wine?
She grimaced. Beer if you have it.
Damon smiled. Of course. Sam, have Carol bring Julie a beer. Serena and I will take wine.
Serena got up and hurried over to Julie.
Julie found herself in a hug as Serena squeezed fiercely.
You have to tell me how it went with Nathan, Serena murmured.
Julie grinned. Just like I planned, and now I'm here for part two of the plan. Serena rolled her eyes as she backed away. You did tell Damon why I wanted to see him, right? Julie asked anxiously.
She did, Damon said with amusement. Sort of. She said she'd leave the actual details for you to explain, that you were interested in using my facilities for a little fantasy fulfillment.
Yeah, Julie said wistfully. I'm totally down for some great sex.
Damon laughed, and that's why Julie liked him. He didn't have an uptight, judgmental bone in his body. Plus, he loved Serena to pieces. And what woman wouldn't want that kind of guy for her friend?
Come sit, Julie. You can fill me in on these fantasies of yours while we wait for your beer.
Hell, I might need a few beers before I can tell you about them, she muttered. Serena snorted and took Julie's arm to guide her toward the couch.
Like you've ever been shy. Come sit down and tell Damon what it is you want. As long as it doesn't involve him personally, I'm cool with it.
Julie sent Serena a sly glance as the two settled onto the couch. You're sounding possessive, girlfriend. Dare I ask whether or not Damon has persuaded you to accept his proposal yet?
Julie, shut up, Serena hissed.
Not yet, Damon said calmly, but I will.
He winked at Julie, and she smiled back. I don't know why you don't just put the guy out of his misery, Julie muttered under her breath to Serena. It's obvious he's over the moon mad about you. Julie liked to give Serena shit when it came to Damon, but she was hugely relieved that Serena was taking her time deciding, even if Julie did think Damon was pretty terrific. Julie liked him a lot, but she wasn't convinced he was right for Serena long-term, or maybe that Serena wasn't right for him long-term.
You're here to talk about you, Serena said sweetly. Don't make me throw you out of my house before you get to plead your case.
Julie threw back her head and laughed. All righty then. She looked over at Damon. Faith told me she came to you and she wanted some help in the fantasy fulfillment area.
Damon sat down in the armchair catty-corner to the sofa and propped one long leg over his knee.
Not exactly. Faith wasn't looking for a fantasy. She was looking for something very real.
He smiled and looked over at Serena.
Serena was the one looking for a fantasy.
They both ended up with the real deal.
Yeah, I know, Julie said impatiently. I'm not after reality here. I don't want a permanent fixture. I want hot sex with two gorgeous specimens, and I want it anonymously.
She held her breath while she waited for Damon to react.
Serena was quicker. While Damon didn't look overly disturbed by her announcement, Serena turned sharply.
Have you lost your mind, Julie? Anonymous? And you thought I was the crazy one?
No, I've got it all figured out, Julie said patiently. I don't want messy entanglements. Been there, done that, can certainly live without it.
I wanted hot sex with Nathan, and clearly that didn't work out. So I'm thinking the best way to go about this is to set up a situation where I have no idea who my hot guys are. We all get great sex out of it and go our merry way afterward.
How anonymous are you wanting exactly? Damon asked.
She looked at him gratefully, relieved that he was at least taking her request seriously. So anonymous that I don't know who they are or what they look like during any part of it, she said cheerfully.
Serena groaned.
Good God, Julie, what do you want? For them to blindfold you?
Yes, exactly.
Talk some sense into her, Damon, Serena pleaded.
Can't do that, love, he said fondly. What if she'd been able to talk you out of your crazy idea of wanting to be my sex slave?
For the love of God, Serena muttered.
Julie grinned.
He's right, you know. You could very well be standing in the way of my future happiness.
You don't believe that load of horse manure any more than I do, Serena said.
Laughter escaped Julie, and she shoved playfully at Serena. No, I don't, you heifer. But you could at least give me my own rope to hang myself with. I may have thought you were nuts, but I didn't tie your ass to a chair to prevent you from signing up for slavery.
Very true, Serena said with a sigh. But can I at least talk you out of the blindfolds? It seems so scary.
It's part of the appeal, Damon said evenly. Think about it, Serena mine. Total darkness. Having to rely on all your other senses. Touch. Taste. Smell. The feel of strange hands on your body, awakening all those senses.
A warm flush stole over Julie. Damn, but the man was good.
I don't want any emotional attachment, Julie said. I just want two men concentrating on me and my pleasure.
No slave shit, please. Unless they want to be mine, she added with a grin.
Minions to do my bidding would be great, too.
You're incorrigible, Serena said as she chuckled.
No, just desperate and horny.
Damon broke into laughter, and Serena closed her eyes and touched her forehead with her hand.
Surely there are men at your pleasure palace who wouldn't mind fucking a woman's brains out, she said to Damon.
Pleasure palace? That sounds so cheesy.
He actually looked affronted.
Sorry, she mumbled. House of love, then?
He cracked a grin.
You don't want love, remember?
Damn straight. Thanks for that reminder.
But yes, I'm sure there are any number of men who would be more than willing to take you on, he said as he fought another smile. We'll do the usual background checks, medical histories, etc. Give me a week or so to get everything together, and I'll do my best to give you your fantasy.
If it's not asking too much, I'd like to schedule two nights. Now, ahead of time. I don't want to deal with the awkwardness of doing another after the first night, and if it's already set up, then I don't have to stress about it.
Of course, Damon agreed. But if you decide it's not to your liking, or if there's anything you want me to change, let me know.
Julie put her hands together in front of her and grinned in delight. Thanks, Damon. You're the best.
He shrugged.
It's the least I can do to repay you for kidnapping Serena for me.
Serena glowered at both of them, but Julie didn't miss the flash of emotion in Serena's eyes as she looked at Damon.
I need more details as well, Damon continued. If you aren't comfortable giving them now, you can email me later, but I need specifics. Boundaries. The do-not-cross lines.
Julie cocked her head and thought for a moment. I don't have a problem telling you now. I'm not into bondage shit. No way I want to be tied down with strange men, even if I asked for strange men.
Serena laughed and shook her head.
A blindfold is all I really require because I don't want to know. Don't want to see them. Although I'm counting on you not to give me anyone hideous, Julie said.
Now why the hell should you care if they're hideous if you're blindfolded? Serena asked in exasperation.
It's the principle, Julie said. She looked back at Damon. And no small dicks. If I'm going for the gusto, I want to be treated right.
Damon's shoulders shook as he tried valiantly to keep his composure. No small dicks. Got it. Anything else?
Just give me someone who knows what to do with a big dick, Julie said. I don't want to have to coach the guy. I want a man who knows what to do with a woman.
I think I can handle that, he said. Blindfolds and big dicks. Shouldn't be too difficult.
Then he lost it and started to laugh. Julie grinned before she started chuckling along with him. Serena shook her head and burst into laughter as well.
I always swore Damon wasn't a pimp, but now I'm not so sure, Serena said ruefully.
Hey, he said in protest. Can I help it if desperate women keep throwing themselves at me and begging me to help?
He's got you there, Julie said as she dug her elbow into Serena's side. Between you, me, and Faith, the man's got enough experience to run a whorehouse.
Oh, I'm sure he had plenty of experience before we came along, Serena said dryly.
Julie grinned mischievously.
Maybe we can retire him after he hooks me up.
Now I sound like a stud horse, Damon muttered. Serena better damn well not retire me out to pasture.
Serena smiled that silly, goopy smile she got whenever she looked at Damon, the one that made Julie slightly nauseous. Julie cleared her throat before both of them dissolved into slimy little puddles.
Okay, then. If everything's said, I'm going to skate on out of here and leave you to do your slave thing.
For God's sake, Julie, Serena groaned. Do you ever just shut up?
Julie blew her a kiss as she got up.
No, but you love me anyway.
I do, but damned if I know why,
Serena said wearily as she got up from the couch.
I'll be in touch, Julie, Damon said as he rose.
Thanks, Damon. I really appreciate this. She turned to Serena. I'll see you later this week for your massage, right?
You aren't afraid that Nathan will barge in?
Serena asked. Julie snorted. I'll just lock up. You and Faith are my only appointments. Besides, he hasn't been around in a few days. Stung pride and all that. He'll get over it and move on. I know I have.
Just how hung up are you on Julie Stanford?
Mike asked Nathan as they sat down at Cattleman's to eat lunch.
What the fuck kind of question is that?
Nathan demanded. It was bad enough that Julie had completely messed with his mind, but now he was fielding comments from the guys about how fucked up he was over the woman.
It's a simple question, Micah said calmly. Either you are or you aren't.
Nothing is simple when you ask it, Nathan grumbled.
So?
So fucking what? Nathan snarled. Give it a rest, man. You know what happened. If a gorgeous woman came on to you, sucked you dry and then off, what the fuck would you do?
Toss her over my shoulder and lock us in a room for a week?
Micah said with a grin.
I'm tempted. If I could find the wench. I just happen to know where she'll be this weekend,
Micah said casually. Nathan pinned him with a stare.
And how would you know that?
Micah smiled. Smug bastard.
I have my ways. Cut the crap, will you?
Micah gripped his beer bottle and tilted it back, taking a long swig. When he lowered it again, he looked long and hard at Nathan.
There's a reason I'm asking how hung up on her you are.
And that is? Nathan asked.
Because apparently she's serious about leaving you in her dust.
Nathan snorted and downed the last of his beer.
Tell me something I don't know. Normally I wouldn't even tell you this, because I usually side with the women. But I think you have a thing for her.
Nathan blew out his breath in irritation. Nice to know he was so fucking transparent. But how transparent could he be if Julie hadn't even figured it out? Hell, she thought he'd spent the last few months ignoring her, as if any breathing man could ever not notice that woman.
Yeah, maybe, he said grudgingly. Well, she's hooked up for this weekend for some hot anonymous sex at Damon's place. And the following weekend as well.
Nathan's jaw dropped about the time the beer bottle fell out of his hand and hit the floor.
What?
Micah eyed him cautiously, and maybe he did look a little deranged. He couldn't very well act calm when he felt like a volcano about to erupt.
Run that by me again? Nathan growled. Use short words. Don't leave anything out. What the fuck is she doing at Damon fucking Roche's sex club?
Micah snickered.
I wasn't even sure you had any idea about the house.
I wouldn't if I hadn't overheard you and Gray talking about the time he hauled Faith out of there. Faith, for Christ's sake. If I had any inkling she was wandering in there, I would have snatched her out by her hair.
I can't believe Damon allowed her in. I know he's your friend, but that was ridiculous. Maybe Faith isn't the innocent you like to make her out to be,
Micah said in amusement. Nathan glared at Micah. We're talking about Julie, remember? And I sure as hell don't think she's innocent. But I damn well don't want her fucking some stranger with Damon's blessing, either. What the hell is he running, some kind of pimp service?
Look, I'm not telling you this so you can stop it. Last I checked, you weren't Julie's keeper, and I doubt she'd allow that anyway.
His lips twitched as he obviously fought laughter.
But Julie's request was for anonymous sex. She wants to be blindfolded. Do you see an opportunity here?
Nathan stared at Micah in stupefaction.
Blindfolded? Has she lost her damn mind? What's to stop this joker from hurting her?
Jokers, Micah corrected.
What? There's more than one.
Nathan's fingers curled into a fist.
You're shitting me. You're doing this to yank my chain, aren't you?
Micah licked his lips as he struggled with his composure.
And would you quit laughing at me already? Nathan demanded.
Micah dropped his head and laughed. He laughed so hard that tears were streaming from his eyes. Nathan wanted nothing more than to kick his ass.
I'm not jitting you, man, Micah said as he gasped for breath. She wants odd sex with more than one guy. She wants to be blindfolded but not tied up. She wants the fantasy of anonymity. Fuck me, Nathan swore. That's going to happen over my dead body. Oh? And how do you plan to stop it? Damon's not going to let you within a mile of the house if your plan is to barge in, fist swinging. He runs a very civilized place.
Civilize my ass? What's civilized about treating women like pieces of meat? Micah raised an eyebrow.
Knowing what you do about me, do you honestly think I would have let Julie walk into that kind of situation if I wasn't sure that Damon would take damn good care of her?
Nathan leaned forward.
And I'd ask what the hell business of it is yours, what Julie does or doesn't do. She's friends with Faith and Serena. I'd look out for her just like I do those two,
he said evenly.
What business of it is yours? Why do you care, Nathan?
Fuck you, Nathan muttered.
Admit it, you care. It's eating you alive to know that she's going to be fucking some other guy this weekend when you're dying to get into her pants. It ain't going to happen,
Nathan said belligerently.
What, you getting into her pants?
Micah asked. Nathan turned up his middle finger at Micah.
What ain't going to happen is her having anonymous sex with some goddamn stranger. And you plan to prevent this how?
Fuck if he knew.
He didn't know this Damon guy as well as Micah did. But Micah could fix that, couldn't he? And hell, if she was that bent on having anonymous sex, he could be as anonymous as the next guy.
A slow grin spread across his face. That was it. He'd exact a little payback for the way she'd played him in the salon with the added benefit of not letting her fuck another man. She wouldn't need another guy when he finished with her.
I'm not liking the look on your face right now, Micah said warily. You only get that look when you're plotting, usually against me.
I think we should have a beer with your buddy Damon, Nathan suggested.
Like tonight.
Micah grinned.
I thought you might see it my way. Your way? How the hell is this your way? If we did things your way, Julie would be fucking some weirdo at Damon's sex club this weekend. Why do you think I told you about it, moron? Micah said as he motioned for another beer. And I'm way ahead of you, man. Damon's supposed to meet me here in an hour.
Chapter 4
You did not tell me they were going to be here, Julie huffed as she, Serena, and Faith walked into Cattleman's. In fact, you told me that Damon was at the house tonight, working on my setup.
Serena shrugged, but her gaze was drawn to where Damon sat between Micah and Nathan.
Hello? Earth to Serena?
Faith giggled as they pulled Serena toward the bar. Damon's gaze found Serena's, and he smiled a sexy, toe-curling smile that even had Julie squirming.
You two are more nauseating than Faith and Gray, Julie grumbled as they plopped onto bar stools.
What did I do? Faith asked in a perfect rendition of her innocent look.
So why are they here? Julie hissed.
Nathan was staring at her. She could feel him boring holes through her back.
Why don't you go ask them? Serena drawled. After a few drinks, I just might.
The last thing she wanted was for Nathan to think she was rattled, or avoiding him, even if she damn well was.
Well, you wanted him to suffer, Faith said as the bartender served up their drinks. Although I'd say he looks more pissed than pained.
Better to be pissed off than pissed on, Julie muttered.
Serena laughed. Girlfriend, you pissed all over the guy months ago. Marked him, scented him, howled at the moon.
Julie shoved at her arm and scowled. Yeah, well, you saw how far that got me. At least now he knows what he's missing.
Why are you still talking about him? Faith asked. Shouldn't you be moving on to greener pastures? Remember? You were going to blow him, then blow him off, and have Damon hook you up with two prime specimens with big dicks and no brains?
Why, Faith, you shock me, Serena said in mock horror. I'd say she's dead on, Julie drawled. She makes a damn good point. Why the hell am I sitting here stewing about Nathan fucking Tucker when I've got a date to be the filling in a stud sandwich?
Faith and Serena both looked at her with ill-disguised horror.
The filling in his stud sandwich?
Julie, tell me you didn't just say that. For God's sake, Serena said.
Not one of your better lines, Faith snickered.
Okay, so it was all I could come up with. Not everyone has your expertise in the area of threesomes.
Serena laughed. She's got you there, Faith.
And clearly neither of you are going to let me live it down, Faith said.
Hell, if I were you, I wouldn't want to live it down. I'd want to relive it. Over and over, if possible, Julie said wistfully.
She stole a glance over at Micah Hudson and tried again to imagine him and Gray Montgomery both fucking Faith's brains out.
Nope, couldn't picture it.
She shrugged and turned her gaze back to Faith.
I still think you're putting us on about that whole thing.
Faith rolled her eyes. You're just a jealous bitch and you know it. I don't know what your problem is. In a few nights, you're going to be indulging in all the hedonistic pleasure you can handle while Serena and I are having a boring evening home with our guys.
Speak for yourself, Serena murmured.
Julie downed her drink and quickly ordered another one. Liquid courage. Never let her down yet. Last time, Nathan had taken her home and dumped her into bed. Maybe this time she could get Micah to do the dirty deed.
Going for a quick buzz tonight? Serena asked with a raised eyebrow.
She didn't respond. Just leveled a stare at Serena and then turned her gaze on the guys sitting several tables away.
Uh-oh, I don't like that look, Faith said.
Serena grinned.
Oh, this is going to be good. And you and I get front row seats, Faith.
You two are going with me, Julie said sweetly.
Uh-huh, and exactly what are we doing? Faith asked. Julie smiled. First, we're going to have a few more drinks. I assume at this point Damon's not going to leave without you, Serena. 30 minutes and a good many drinks later, Julie was feeling no pain, and the demon that had perched so delicately on her shoulder earlier was now hanging from her ear for dear life.
"Shall we, ladies?"
She stood and started toward the table where the men still sat nursing their beers. All three looked up as she approached, and she almost halted at the fire that blazed in Nathan's eyes. Damn, the man was hot. Her fingers positively itched to run over his bald head and over his gorgeous, muscled body. Broad shoulders, bulging arms, and that chest. Man, did she love his chest, and his ass. But it wasn't Nathan she focused on. As Damon greeted Serena, and all the guys said their hellos to Julie and Faith, Julie slid onto Micah's lap, and she took his beer from his hand and took a long swallow. She let her fingers linger over the mouth of the bottle and flicked her tongue out to rim it.
"Well, damn," Micah murmured. "Hello to you too, sugar."
She put the bottle on the table behind her and wrapped her arms loosely around his neck. "Where have you been all my life?"
"Waiting for you to rock mine," he said teasingly.
Nathan sat in stony silence, his eyes glittering. His jaw clenched and ticked, but he said nothing.
"I seem to need a ride home," she whispered. "Gray's meeting Faith here for dinner, and now that Damon is here, Serena isn't going to want to leave."
"Well now," Micah drawled, "far be it from me to ever leave a woman in distress. However, Nathan here might kick my ass if I make a move toward that door with you."
She let her eyes widen innocently as she turned to Nathan.
"Oh, hello, Nathan. I didn't even notice you there."
Damon choked on his beer while Faith and Serena both looked away to keep from laughing. Nathan tipped his bottle in her direction, his face set in stone. Then she turned back to Micah.
"Are you the type to let another man dictate who you take home?"
Micah's expression darkened.
"Don't play with fire, sugar, or you'll get burned. Quick."
She pouted playfully and leaned in closer until her mouth was an inch from his ear.
"Who says I'm playing?" she whispered.
His hands tightened around her hips, and then he tucked his lips to her ear, nuzzling through her hair.
"If Nathan hadn't already staked a claim, I'd have you in my bed so fast you wouldn't know what hit you. And believe me, sugar, I'd be calling all the shots."
She drew away and rolled her eyes.
"I've heard all about you, Hudson, and I can't wait for the day a woman knocks you on your smug ass. I just hope I'm around to see it."
Micah smirked.
"Ain't going to happen, babe."
"Does that mean you aren't going to volunteer to take me home?"
she asked softly. Nathan bolted from his seat and reached over to snag her wrist. Julie was so surprised by his action that she just sat there on Micah's lap, gaping up at him.
"Cut the bullshit, Julie. I'm taking you home. Now. It's long past the time we had a little chat."
Her eyes narrowed, and she moved farther into Micah's embrace, but Nathan didn't let up on his grip. "We have nothing to talk about, Tucker. And if my options are you driving me home or taking a cab, then I'll go pour myself into a cab."
"Nathan, let it go," Micah said quietly. "Save it for later. I'll drive her home."
Nathan's eyes grew stormy, but he let go of her wrist, and then turned and stalked out of the restaurant.
"Asshole," Julie muttered as she rubbed her wrist.
Micah picked her hand up and ran his thumb over her wrist.
"You know he wouldn't have hurt a hair on your head. And if he had any hair, he'd have already pulled it out over you, and you damn well know it."
She raised an eyebrow.
"And what do you know about it?"
He grinned, flashing perfectly white straight teeth.
"Women aren't the only ones who gossip, you know."
Her cheeks went warm.
"Well, hell."
"Too bad I never started going to you for massages," he teased.
She let her head fall onto his shoulder with a groan.
"I'm ready to go home."
"Come on, Julie, we'll take you home, and you know it," Serena said.
"No, I'll take her," Micah said. "I told her I would, and I'd never leave a lady in distress."
"You guys going to hang out here until Gray comes?" Julie asked Serena and Damon.
"Of course," Damon said smoothly.
Faith hesitated, her eyes drooping a little sadly. "For the love of God, people, I'm certainly capable of staying by myself until Gray gets here. He'll probably be late anyway. He's been running behind a lot lately."
"But the point is you don't have to be by yourself," Damon said. "Serene and I are more than happy to wait with you."
Micah lifted Julie to her feet, impressing her with his strength. Then he stood and took her hand, pulling her toward the door. When they got to his truck, he opened the passenger door for her, and, like a perfect gentleman, saw her seated before walking around to his side. The interior smelled faintly of smoke, and gave her the first serious Jones for a cigarette she'd had in 2 years.
"I didn't realize you smoked," she said when he started the engine.
He winced and smiled a little guiltily.
"I didn't think the smell was that obvious."
"Former smoker," she admitted. "Some people love the smell of coffee. Me, I love the smell of cigarettes." He reached into the door pocket and pulled out a crumpled packet.
"I've got one left. Want to share it?"
She sucked in her breath. Damn, it was only one. Well, half of one. What the hell? "You trying to quit?" she asked as he lit up.
"Yeah."
"How's that working for you?"
He laughed. "I'm down to a few a day. I keep saying each pack is my last, but at least I'm making them last longer."
He took a deep drag and passed it to her. She slid it between her lips and inhaled, closing her eyes.
"Between this and the booze, you're going to have to pour me into bed," she said as she passed it back. "I'll have a head rush from hell."
"How long's it been for you?"
2 years.
"Impressive. And here I am luring you back to the dark side. I'm a real bastard."
She laughed, then she cast him a mournful stare.
"Why the hell couldn't I be hung up on you?"
Jesus, had she just said that? Too much to drink. Or maybe it was the cigarette. Or maybe it was just sheer desperation. She'd all but told him how hung up on Nathan she was now. Micah smiled and passed her back the cigarette.
"You're killing the poor guy. Give him a break, okay? Us men aren't too smart when it comes to women, you know?"
She blew out the smoke and sent him a baleful look.
"Okay, so a woman all but throws herself at you for weeks, pushes her cleavage in your face, practically takes out a glowing neon sign saying, 'I want you,' and then gives you a massage you'll never forget. And you can't figure out she's attracted to you?"
"Okay, Nathan isn't too smart when it comes to women," he said with a chuckle. "Cut him some slack. The poor man doesn't know whether he's coming or going with you."
She scowled.
"Well, you know what, Micah? I'm damn tired of men not knowing what to do with me. I want a guy who doesn't need an instruction manual, thank you very much. Nathan blew his chance as far as I'm concerned."
"So you're going to torture him endlessly?"
"Something like that," she muttered.
"Okay, okay, I'll leave him alone. I have bigger fish to fry anyway."
He pulled into her apartment complex and cut the engine. For a moment, he sat there just staring over at her with those complex, deep brown eyes.
"You know, Julie, someday a man's going to tame you. I just hope I'm around to see it."
"Ha!" she said as she opened her door. "I'll make a bet that a woman knocks you down a few notches before a man ever tames me."
He held out his hand with a smug grin.
"Deal."
She took it and stared back just as hard.
"What are the stakes?"
"If you win, you get me, any way you want me. If I win, I get you, any way I want you."
She took her hand back and crossed her arms over her chest.
"There's just one problem with your stakes, Slick."
"Oh? And what's that?"
"If you're tamed, your girlie might have a thing or two to say about me having you any way I want you. If I'm tamed, the guy in question sure as hell won't appreciate having a third in the mix. I'm not saying I'd mind," she added saucily.
"Don't be so sure of that," he said, a glint in his eyes, "as I have no intention of losing the bet. All we have to worry about is this guy who's going to tame you. My guess is, he's not going to mind allowing me my winnings."
Chapter 5.
"An instruction manual?" Nathan bit out. "An instruction manual?"
Nathan slammed the trunk door and stomped around to the front of the truck to meet Micah and to head into the building that housed the Malone & Sons offices. Micah chuckled.
"Yeah, she was pretty clear on wanting a guy who didn't need an instruction manual to satisfy her." "I'll show her an instruction manual," Nathan gritted out. God, but the woman was making him crazy. Why was he letting her get to him so bad? It wasn't just the blowjob. Though damn, the feisty little wench was good with her mouth. "Have you and Damon talked about this weekend?" Micah asked.
Nathan looked around and frowned. Faith wasn't in her office, but that didn't mean Gray or Connor wasn't skulking around. Or Pop, even. He shuddered at the idea of Pop overhearing this conversation.
"Relax, man. Connor and Gray are out with Pop on a job."
"And what are we doing here again?"
"Picking up the paperwork for our job, and then we're going to head south. You're a grumpy son of a bitch when you're not getting laid, let me tell you." "How the hell would you know whether I'm getting laid or not?" Nathan growled.
Jesus, why are we talking about this?
Micah laughed as he rummaged around on Faith's desk.
Aha! Here it is. Let's make tracks. We can talk on the way.
What's turned you into such a chatty bastard? Nathan asked when they'd gotten back into Micah's truck.
He scowled when Micah cracked his window and started digging for a cigarette.
Damn it! Smoked my last one with Julie.
What the hell are you doing smoking with Julie? She doesn't smoke, does she?
A smug grin creased Micah's face. Then he reached over to open the glove box. Shit fell out between Nathan's knees.
There is a God,
Micah breathed as he pulled out a smashed package of cigarettes.
Get a damn patch or something.
Micah stuck a cigarette between his lips and fished in his pocket for a lighter.
So, you didn't answer my question. Have you talked to Damon about this weekend, or are you just going to let Julie go?
Fuck you. I'm not letting her go anywhere but to bed with me.
So you have talked to Damon, then? I take it he agreed?
Not exactly, Nathan muttered.
Micah turned to blow his smoke out the window.
Will you quit being so damn close-mouthed and just spill it?
He feels his first obligation is to Julie.
Imagine that,
Micah said dryly.
Cut the sarcasm, Nathan said with a scowl.
She wants a threesome. An anonymous threesome. With her blindfolded.
It was all he could do to get the words out. Was she just trying to get herself hurt? He didn't give a damn how tight Damon's security was or that they had video surveillance on the private rooms all the time. It would only take a few seconds to hurt or kill her, and there wouldn't be a damn thing Damon or his people could do about it.
Why does that bother you so much?
Micah asked with a sideways look. Nathan's mouth fell open. Then he snapped it shut.
Damon doesn't have a problem with vetting me to be one of her guys, but I insisted that I'd be the only man in that damn room with her, and he said he felt obligated to fulfill Julie's wishes.
Micah shrugged.
So? Have a threesome with her. Come on, man. You can't tell me you've never fantasized about fucking a woman while another man is fucking her, too. Hell, you watch porn. Half that shit is a bona fide gangbang.
Would you stand by and let another man touch what you considered yours?
Nathan asked calmly. Something dark and predatory flashed in Micah's eyes.
As long as she belonged to me? Yeah. It's a huge turn-on.
You've had threesomes?
Whoa, this conversation was heading into serious cringe territory. Next they'd be comparing dick sizes.
You never have?
Micah countered.
Hell, you act as though it's some natural function, as normal as having sex with a woman. Most men get on their knees and thank God if a woman will sleep with them, much less you and another guy.
Micah laughed.
Women tend to like being the object of so much attention. Two men devoted to making sure she has the most mindless pleasure she's ever experienced.
So it's more about the woman?
Shit. There he went again, sounding like some damn amateur. A blush stole over his cheeks, and he turned to look out the window before Micah could see him and give him hell.
He'd had sex. Lots of sex, damn it.
Okay. Maybe not that much.
Still, he'd been around the block more than a few times. But now his experiences seemed pretty dull compared to the crap Micah was talking about.
Well, yes and no, Micah said seriously. It's all about pleasuring her, watching her go wild. In turn, it's a huge turn-on for a man. I mean, what guy doesn't get a serious charge out of rocking a woman's world?
He had a point there. It wasn't like a guy ever wanted to be a complete failure in bed.
So, she really wants this threesome?
Nathan said painfully.
Don't take it personally. If you've never been to bed with her, it's not as if she's sending you a message or anything.
Oh, she's sending one, all right.
So are you going to agree to the threesome or not? Doesn't sound like Damon's going to give you much of a choice. And hell, dude, have you ever given this any thought? Blindfolded or not, she's going to figure out it's you really damn quick with your bald head and goatee. You're going to need a distraction for her.
Or just tie her damn hands to the bed, Nathan muttered.
Micah laughed.
Well, that would be my vote, but I hear that's not what she wants at all. I think it would offend her not-so-meek sensibilities.
You sound like you know an awful lot about her, Nathan said quietly.
I like all women, Nathan. Don't get your panties in a wad. It's not like I'm trying to move in on your woman. You want her, I get it. Doesn't mean I don't have eyes or a dick and that they both don't come to attention when she's around.
Then maybe you'd be a perfect third in this threesome she wants.
Micah tossed a cigarette out the window and cast Nathan a sidelong glance.
Let me get this straight. You want me to be the other guy?
Nathan shifted uncomfortably in his seat.
Well, if you want the truth,
I don't want there to be a third party in this equation. I mean, shit. When did sex get so goddamn complicated? But if that's what she wants, if that's the only way I get into the picture, then yeah, I'd prefer it to be you over some stranger. At least I wouldn't have to worry about your intentions.
Micah nodded.
All right. If that's what you want, I'll let Damon know. I'm already a member there, so it'll be just you he has to do all the checking up on.
This is for the birds, Nathan grumbled.
Seriously. It never used to be this difficult to get into a woman's pants. Now there are security and background checks, kinky checklists.
Micah chuckled.
The house should be quite an experience for you. I'll suggest to Damon that he give you a tour before this weekend, just so you'll know what you're getting into.
He said she wanted a private room, just her and the two guys.
Yeah, but you have to get to that private room.
Great. Just great.
Don't be such a pussy.
Hey, fuck you! Nathan growled, but he grinned and shook his head. This was going to be painful. Hell, it already was. The last thing he wanted to do was get naked in front of one of his best friends, and then let that best friend fuck the woman he'd been fantasizing about for months. But there was something edgy and forbidden about the images flashing in his mind, watching her come apart between him and Micah, giving her more pleasure than she could stand. Yeah, it was a turn-on. But then everything about Julie did it for him. She was an earthy woman, shorter, full-figured with hips and an ass that just cried out for a man's hands. And her breasts. Sweet Jesus, her breasts were mouth-wateringly perfect, and he ought to know because he'd seen them often enough in his fantasies. Round with a generous swell. He hadn't seen her nipples, and he was positively dying to get them into his mouth. He wanted to bury his face right in the valley between the generous mounds. She had to be at least a double D, and Lord, but that excited him. No, he wouldn't be able to feel her ribs or get poked by her bones, but she'd be soft in all the right places, and he couldn't wait to bury himself inside her pussy over and over. She was, in a word, stacked, built like a brick house, voluptuous. He'd have his hands full with her in more ways than one. And he couldn't goddamn wait. Chapter 6. I'm nervous. Why am I nervous? Julie looked between Faith and Serena, who stood in her bathroom watching as Julie did her hair. And why am I worried so goddamn much about hair? She muttered. Like it's not going to get messed up. Faith giggled, and Serena just rolled her eyes in the mirror.
Come on, Julie, it's okay. I'd be terrified, Serena said.
So says the woman who auctioned herself off, naked, in front of a room full of horny men, Julie pointed out.
You want to look good. It's natural, Faith said soothingly. I wouldn't want to look like a hag in front of men who are seeing me naked.
Hag? Julie croaked.
Serena patted her on the arm. It's just a figure of speech.
Julie set down the comb and the hairspray and sighed.
You know why I'm doing this. Does it have something to do with the naked thing? Faith asked.
I saw my ex in the grocery store last night.
Which ex? Serena asked.
Julie pinned her with a glare.
Does it matter?
He was with his new girlfriend.
Okay, he's an old ex. I'm not hung up on him or anything. It was his girlfriend who pissed me off.
Want me to kick her ass? Serena asked with a grin.
Julie smooched at Serena's reflection in the mirror.
No, but we can hope she trips and breaks an ankle, can't we?
Faith laughed.
So what did she do?
Julie picked up the comb again and pushed at a strand of hair that kept falling over her forehead. So I'm at the grocery store. I round the corner of the bread aisle, and there he is with Miss Thing on his arm. He smiles and says, hello. I smile back and say, hello. Miss Thing looks at me once, and she dismisses me like I'm not a threat. Just like that.
She didn't, Serena gasped in mock horror.
Julie gave her a mournful look.
I mean...
Let's face it. Most of the time, if you're with your guy and you see his ex, you get all prickly. You start sizing her up. Is she prettier than me? Is he looking at her? Was she better in bed? Is he still hung up on her? The claws come out. But no, Miss Thing actually smiled at me. This smug, superior smile that said, I'm prettier than you. I'm thinner than you. I'll always be better than you. Then she all but sneered at me when he introduced us, and she had this look like, he dated you? Really?
Faith wrapped an arm around her shoulders and squeezed tight.
Her boobs were probably fake, and I bet her roots were showing.
Julie shook against her with laughter. God, I love you guys. But damn, can't you let me wallow for 2 seconds?
No wallowing, Serena said.
Why aren't I a threat? Julie asked mournfully.
I lock Gray down every time you walk into the room, Faith said.
Julie rolled her eyes. I wanted to tell her that I could have her man any time I wanted, and that she was probably a cold fish in bed. But then I remembered. She has him, I don't, so that argument wasn't going to cut it.
Do you want him? Serena asked archly.
Hell no, but that isn't the point.
Did he dump you or did you dump him? Faith asked.
I dumped him, of course.
Of course, Serena murmured. Okay, then, it's settled. He had to settle for second best, and even now he's probably drowning his sorrows in a bottle of alcohol while Miss Thing hangs uselessly on his arm.
Julie cracked up, laughing. She laughed so hard her mascara smeared. Damn it, Serena. Now I've got to start all over.
Don't know why you bother with the stuff, Faith said. You don't want raccoon eyes during sex.
Good point, Julie acknowledged. I'll stick with the basics, except for lipstick. A woman can never wear too much lipstick.
Even if they rub it off real quick, Serena snickered. A few minutes later, Julie took a deep breath and stared back at her friends in the mirror.
Okay, how do I look?
Absolutely gorgeous.
Sensational.
Faith's and Serena's voices ran together, and Julie smiled back at them.
I'm so nervous I could puke. How stupid is that?
Not stupid, Serena said. Just remember, you don't have to go through with it. If you get there and don't feel comfortable, you don't have to do it.
But if you do, we want all the details later, Faith said with a grin.
Julie hugged them both and shooed them out of her bathroom.
I'm going to be late if I don't get out of here.
Everything was done and arranged. All she had to do was walk inside, and her night of fantasy would begin. But here she sat in her car with sweaty palms like a virgin behind the bleachers with the quarterback. She and Damon had agreed that Cole would handle her arrival, because having Damon do it? Weird much? She knew Damon's security monitored the rooms with video surveillance, but she'd rather not have a personal relationship with anyone seeing her naked, doing two guys at the same time. Then again, if she didn't get a move on, she wouldn't be doing anyone.
Excitement skirted up her spine as she got out of the car. Nervous had no place in tonight's activities. She was a confident, sexual woman. She could handle whatever was thrown her way.
Before she could knock, the door opened, and an extremely good-looking man smiled back at her.
Julie?
She nodded. You must be Cole.
White teeth flashed as his smile broadened. Come in. I've been expecting you.
I hope you aren't the only one.
He laughed as he put his hand to her back to usher her down the hallway. Indeed not.
She knew from Damon's tour which room would be hers, but it didn't make her any less excited as they went up the stairs. At the end of the upstairs hallway was the common room where anything went, publicly. There were several private rooms, however, and Cole guided her to the one on the opposite end of the hallway from the common room.
I'll leave you to undress. I'll be back in a few minutes to blindfold you and see if there's anything else you need before your men arrive. She couldn't help the grin. Her men. It sounded positively decadent.
Cole retreated from the room, and she made her way to the bed to run her hand across the sumptuous linens. Not wanting an awkward moment, she hurriedly shed her clothing and stuffed it into the closet. The room had been prepared as Damon had promised. The blindfold was on the bed, a beautiful scarlet-red sash. Symbolic. She liked it. On the vanity next to the bed was an array of sexual paraphernalia that she probably wouldn't have even thought of. Condoms, of course, but there was also lubricant and an array of sex toys, some of which she wasn't even sure of their purpose. It would be fun as hell to find out, though. A sound at the door had her guiltily whirling around. Cole came back in, and she instinctively covered her nakedness, as if her hands were going to cover that much flesh.
Are you ready?
She blew out her breath in a sharp staccato. Yeah.
He smiled and patted the bed. Hop up and I'll get the blindfold in place. Then all you need to do is lie back and relax.
She crawled onto the bed and turned her back to Cole. A second later, the silky material of the sash slid over her eyes, shutting out the light. He tied it securely, tightening it so it wouldn't slip. Then he took her hand and guided her backward until she lay on her back on the soft bed.
Welcome to your fantasies,
he murmured. She heard him leave, and silence fell over the room. She hadn't expected to feel so vulnerable with a blindfold. If she'd realized before, she would have never requested it. But the nervous anticipation was exciting in a way. She liked the tightening sensation in all her nerve endings. She was already aroused, and there was no sign of her studs yet. She smiled dreamily as she let her imagination go. There was something to this not seeing. This way, she could imagine whoever she wanted. They could look exactly as she wanted, and how was she to know any different? The soft sound of the door opening made her inhale.